Blog Talk Radio.
Well, praise the Lord, everybody. Welcome to another episode of the Miracle Man Show here on Wednesday, June 19th, 2019. As always, I am so glad you could join this program tonight, wherever you may be and however you may be accessing this program. Whether you be on a smartphone, a desktop, a cell phone, a laptop, or a desktop. Now, I like to tease about those desktops, and I like to say, you know, they've been around since about Jesus' birth, when Jesus was born, I guess. Okay, not quite that long, but been around since like the 80s. But after that pause, Jake taking a sip, and thank the Lord for Coca-Cola, which is always the one. But regardless of the device that you are using to stream this program tonight, I want to thank you for joining us. And I'm pretty excited about what we're going to bring you tonight. Got some good things to talk about. We're going to get into the Word a little bit. I'm discussing some more about the story of Daniel. We're going to read chapter 1. Because yesterday, I rushed straight to chapter 3 to talk about the fiery furnace. And then chapter 2. Because I was just going to read chapter 2. And let's read chapter 2 for the listeners so they can see and will help to get there. And then tonight, I'm going to go to chapter 1 so you can see like about Daniel, where he came from. And then I'm going to go to the chapter where he got thrown into the den of lions for praying. And I'm going to just discuss more of that after I'm done reading and I start to teach and exhort. But after I do a little bit of monologue, like where I tell you about what's going on and what have you, there's an old worship song I want to do for you guys. Then we're going to pray and get into the Word. And then I'm going to pray for those who are believing God for healing in their body. So, in a sense, at the monologue, we'll be having worship, word, workshop. Because workshop in a church setting, that can be like an altar call of some kind. Or in this case, it would just be like where I pray the prayer of Jesus over your body. So, we're going to do that. And then we're going to talk about the tigers a little bit. All right. So, there was this story about this kid, about this kid who lived here in Midland. When he was 6, he lost his dad. His dad was a police officer. He died running in the Chicago Marathon. Remember that story, Annie?
Yeah.
I forget his name, but that boy graduated this year, because I remember back in 2008 hearing about that. That boy graduated this year, and for graduation, he told his parents that he wanted to invite the police department. Obviously, you know, not all the officers could show up, but my understanding is like one or two of them did. There was an article about it this morning. Did you see that?
Yeah.
In it, what was it? Three of them came? Yeah, so three police came to that graduation for that boy. I just thought the new year about stuff like that, and it had to be, you know, so terrible, you know. Losing that father when father was doing, and believe it or not, he didn't die because he was on duty. He wasn't even on duty. He was out there doing something he loved, running. Because my understanding is he loved running, didn't he?
Yeah.
But something was wrong. Was it his heart, I believe? I believe it was his heart.
Yep, it was heart failure.
He had, I don't think it was even clogged even. I don't think it was all, it was almost not detected that he was a heart patient, you know? I don't think he was even on heart watch, was he?
I don't think so.
His heart just gave way. But that story is so cool that kid said he wanted those police at his grad party. And by the way, I know sometimes my pastor likes to tease about it when people are in the paper. He likes to say, oh, yeah, tease and be like, I hope he wasn't in there because he got arrested. Pretty funny when he does that, isn't it? And by the way, listeners, those police were not there to arrest the kid. No, they weren't. But it's like a sad, but it's a cool story when you see stuff like that. I wish there was more like that in the news, because I keep track of what's going on, folks. I do, because I can know what's going on. But at the same time, you know, it's just so negative. And listeners, you can disagree with me all you want, but there is a reason why there are people that call them the fake news media. Or as I heard someone else call them, the lame scream media. Because a lot of them, a lot of them are biased. And rather than just being fair, they're biased. But when I heard that story about that officer and that kid, I decided that, you know, I have to tell that on my show. So that is. Also, I am looking really forward to going down south a week from Friday. I'm leaving to go down south for a few days. Speaking of down south and such, Mother Nature was really good yesterday, but then what do you know? Today, Mother Nature was back to being a blast. It didn't rain that much, but sure enough, it was cloudy basically all day. But slowly it's going to start getting a bit warmer. Hopefully that'll start meaning a bit less rain. A bit more sunshine. Still far away time-wise to get a picture on what it's going to be like when I'm in the South. But looking forward to it. And what am I looking forward to most? Honestly, for me, that is such a tough question, this trip. A lot of other times it is, too. Because whether I like Chattanooga or Atlanta more, remember I said for me that's extremely tough?
Yeah.
And any time I give an answer, it's going to change in a few days. That makes sense, doesn't it?
Yeah.
I just can't do that and just be super honest. So I just always say, to me, it's a tie, you know? And with this trip, I get to go see my brother who's in Alabama. And I love my brother to pieces. You know, when I was younger, we had that sibling rivalry, but don't give me that look. You have to know what sibling rivalry is, don't you?
Yeah, of course.
Just giving you a hard time. That's why I said don't give me that look. Mm-hmm. You know, but yep, I know. Sometimes my brother would make it manifest. He'd say, "Can I have a sip of that Coke?" And then he'd drink it about half gone. Was some of it over drinks with you guys? Drink. Maybe. Or did you guys not really like any of the same drinks?
It was usually over food or the front seat.
But food includes those beverages, though. What?
Well, I mean, like food.
Yeah, like food, like over a certain bread or whatever. And would they just take half of it, or would they take all of it?
My brothers would always take it.
All of it?
Most of it, yeah. And I would have nothing.
Like, can I have a piece of that pie? You would eat basically the whole pie?
Yeah.
That's worse. Because at least I still got half the Coke. You know, which in a way, I kind of see that as like at least I got something. But some stuff like that, you know, it's far enough away that you can kind of look back and kind of laugh at it, you know. But I'm really looking forward to get to go see him. See what God's doing in him. Down there in Alabama. And then I get to go down to, from there it's up. I get to go up to Nashville. Yep, going up to the Ville. And we're going to hang out up there for much of Tuesday and all of Wednesday. And what all are we going to do? It's me and my parents. I'm probably going to go to one of the malls for a little bit. And then want to go downtown for a bit too and hang out there and go to one of the popular restaurants. You've heard of Pancake Pantry, haven't you?
No, I haven't.
It's a really good pancake place. Last time I was there, I had something called cornbread pancakes. Doesn't that sound really good, actually?
Sounds delicious.
You go to the pharmacy in Nashville, right? And by the way, listeners, that is not a drugstore. That is an actual restaurant. Did you go to the pharmacy or no?
No.
What spots did you go to then in Nashville, or did you just pass through it?
Just pass through it.
That is somewhere where you've wanted to go back to, though, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Whereas for me, this will be my fifth time that I've went to Nashville and at least spent one day. Back in 2000, by one day, I mean like at least a full day. In 2007, 2011, 2016, and then 2017/18, because that was right at the end of the year and the first day of 2018. And so this will be the fifth time. There were two other times where I was in Nashville area for like a couple of hours. And then another time when I was in the area for a single hour to eat. So really, if you think about it, I've been there like eight times. That's pretty crazy, isn't it? When you only went through it once.
Yeah.
But needless to say. And by the way, Nashville has really grown on me a lot. The first time I went there, I was a little apprehensive about certain parts of it, but then I got to Opry. I went to the Call, which is great. We went to Opry Mills, which is, I don't know if it was the weather or what it was that I was feeling kind of apprehensive about, but then 2011 I went there. And it was – I liked it, but at that time I felt like there was other cities I liked better, including Chattanooga, Atlanta. Fast forward 5 years. Even 2015, when we just passed through it on the way to that restaurant, could tell that something had changed and that I was liking it a lot better. Part of it was that, I don't know, but then 2016 and 2017, that was when I really started to really like and love and embrace Nashville at basically the same level that I do a place like Atlanta, Chattanooga, or Texas. Because I discovered that the Opry area, along with downtown is like super busy, which I love, but here's what I like about Opry. You tell me if you think this description is correct. Opry is great at being a tourist destination, while at the same time holding, it staying very tight on and knit on a pure, true Southern tradition. Does that sound a lot like Opry from what you've heard, like they've kept it very Southern?
Yeah, it sounds very accurate.
Like that. And do you feel like Opry Zone might be one of the most Southern areas in Nashville that are left now?
Yeah.
Or do you think it might be the most Southern neighborhood in Nashville right now?
It's possible.
You wouldn't be – there's probably a few other that are out in the country, like you've heard of Highway 100 and you that area, haven't you?
Yes.
How about Loveless Cafe? You've heard of that, haven't you?
No, I haven't.
What have you heard about out there, the Highway 100? What have you heard about that, very southern?
Yeah.
Like that Highway 100 would be the other most southern, like if I'm looking for something that's kind of high energy but still super southern. And I'm really excited to try the Nashville hot chicken. I wonder if there's a way. I just hope there's a way that they can be able to dial the hot sauce down to a point where I can still taste the flavor without it being so spicy.
Wow, that'd be awesome.
Because I want to eat it. But I'm not going to eat it here. I'm going to eat it there. And there's another place there I got to get to. It's called Shipley's. And what have you heard about their kolaches? That they're really good?
Yes, amazing.
Including the meat one?
Yeah, that's what I've heard, yes.
So I think I'm going to have to stop at Shipley's for breakfast either Wednesday morning or Thursday.
For sure.
I don't know if they're not open on Thursday, with it being the 4th, I'll have to go Wednesday. Okay. I wish there was a collage that was like the best of both worlds. That had your breakfast in it, but was also sweet, you know?
Yeah. I thought they might exist in Texas.
Because then I wouldn't have to buy them both so separate. Because if they were open both days, then I might just go once for that and once for the other. Okay. I'm just going to have to wait and see. I'll be going by Nashville on the way down to Jasper, but at that point, I plan on just driving right through it because we want to get down to my brother's at a certain time, so I don't want to stop in Nashville. I just want to keep driving. And then Columbus. And what am I most excited for about that? Dominion Camp Meeting. And I'm really excited about what God's going to do there. I've been praying, preparing myself. I'm really excited. I went to Friday night of it last year, and I'm going back to Friday night of this year. And I'll tell you next week how you can stream that, because obviously, if you can scream me, there's no reason why you can't scream Friday night of camp meeting. I'll be there Friday night, but I'll be screaming the rest of it as much as I can from where I'm at. Like Saturday as we drive back and what have you. Right. As I said, those three things. And on the 4th, I'm just going to... I do have one thing to say. This is about the time zone thing. I wish that everybody east of the Mississippi could all be on the same time zone once and for all.
I agree.
And I'll tell you why. By the way, Mom, by the way, folks, I'm not saying this so I can whine. I'm saying this to tell you the truth. For example, Thursday, when we're coming up from Nashville to Columbus, we're losing an hour. And when it's at the 4th of July, every hour, there's something about that, the 4th is precious. Especially when you spend it outside somewhere, you know, or at least part of it outside somewhere, like whether it be your family or whether you're outside along a pool or something, you know, and I'm going to see exactly how long it is from there and there to there, so I learned how to plan it. If I go somewhere, like, I want to find, like, not a water park, but, like, the greatest pool that I can find. Because you've heard that Cincinnati has some pretty good ones, haven't you?
Yeah.
Like that, didn't you hear me saying something about that? About that one with that rock wall.
Yeah.
I'm guessing you even looked that one up, didn't you?
No, I didn't. But
you remember someone else saying something about a pool with a rock wall too, don't you? Was the one you heard about? Was it super close to downtown?
I don't remember.
Seems like it was rather close to a freeway though, right? The nice thing about that is that once you're done, you can get back on the freeway and go to Columbus.
Right.
You know, which, because a lot of times, a lot of these pools, you'll have to go miles, at least a mile or more off the freeway to get to it, you know. Because even in Midland, like, you got to get off and go a mile. I don't know if there was a beach or something, because obviously it's down in the south, so it's more bound to be hot, you know. There's just something to be said, you know, about the 4th of July. By the way, do you know of any cities who do a food truck event on the 4th?
I'm sure a bunch of Texas do.
Like, do some of them do a food truck fest on the 4th, even if they did the 4th of July on a different night?
I'm sure in Texas, yeah.
Like, you went to one of those festivals?
No, but they always have food trucks at any festival or any event, so I wouldn't be surprised.
Because I'm kind of curious. Will Louisville be doing something? Will Cincinnati be doing something? Or will it be up in Columbus? Or will there be a good one along the way, you know? Maybe Bowling Green's got something. Because I'd want to find one that's popping, like where there's a lot of people, but at the same time, it's got the good old American hamburgers, hot diggity dogs, and wash it down with an old-fashioned root beer float.
Okay.
By the way, I went to a place in down in Ohio a few years ago when I went down to Ohio, 2013, around the 4th, when we went to Kings Island. And down there near Mason, I had one of the best root beer floats I had in my life at one of those, cash only to go diner type places that had like burgers and hot dogs and like fresh off the grill stuff and that. Ohio's kind of a big hotbed for those kind of places, isn't it?
Yeah.
Do you imagine those will still be open on the 4th, do you bet?
Yeah, I'm sure.
Because I think that might have been when I learned to stop liking Coney. Because I'm going to stop talking about food, listeners, because I feel like, no, I'm not feeling hungry. I just know I'm raising my risk. Because sometimes, because when I was little, I used to hear that thing about, stop talking about that certain food. You're making such and such hungry for food. You got to stop it. I didn't think they were being serious, but then I found out sometimes they were kidding, you know. And, but, by the way, folks, I'm outlining nothing. In a way, I'm just kind of throwing out ideas of what I just might imagine, you know. But that Coney Dog place I told you about that was cash only, this was in 2013, but just because it's not cash only anymore doesn't mean that it lost its thing. If it is still cash only, might that be a sign that they're still old school?
Oh, yeah.
And that, if anything, it might make it better.
Yeah.
I wish I knew the name of that place. Does my dad have it somewhere in his phone? Does, you know? Because I just want to know where it is, you know? Because I know it's somewhere near Cincinnati, near Mason or something. I know it's not in Kentucky. But there's such good root beer. And that was the first time I had a Coney that I liked. And it was, there's some good stuff. And I know I'm breaking one of my primary rules. I used the O word twice tonight. But sometimes when you get excited, you can't help it, huh?
Yeah.
So, and by the way, if I do this show and I'm driving or something, I'm going to suspend the old rule, because sometimes when you are, you get you're just too excited. You can't help yourself.
Yeah.
And a lot of the food experiences that were not in the South that were my favorite were in that state. And you're not surprised, are you?
Nope.
Because for whatever reason, mm-hmm. they just seem to be a really good restaurant state, don't they?
Mm-hmm.
But as far as Southern buffets, you've heard of Kentucky having some really good ones before, haven't you?
Mm-hmm.
And Chattanooga had one of the best ones. I'm really looking forward to it. Oh, good, it's only 7:03. Nonetheless, I am still going to real quickly tell you how you can be a part. Then we're going to worship the Lord. We're going to pray. And then open up the Bible. And so, what you can tell listeners how they can be a, prospective listeners, how they can be a part of this great program, there's a number you can call in to be a part of the show. The number to call in is area code 215-383-3810. Once again, that is 215-383-3810. Listen for those prompts. When you hear a prompt that says to call in to a live show, press 1. Go ahead and press 1. You'll be taken through a call screener. My assistant, Ann, will let me know that we have a caller. I'll say okay. I'll let you on. And we can talk about generally anything you want to talk about, as long as it's not political. By the way, if it is political, I'm not just going to hang up on you. What I'm going to tell you to do is to pray for your leaders that rule over you, as the Bible says. And hopefully we can get some great colors. And I want to say real quick, whatever I do for the next little bit, you follow along with me. I'm going to worship and sing a song unto the Lord. If you know the lyrics, go ahead and sing them. Then we're going to pray. Then we're going to open up the Word of God and read it. And then I'm going to exhort you. So whatever I do, you take apart. Like when I'm preaching and exhorting you, you receive. So I sing. When I start singing, you sing along if you know the lyrics. And participating is how you can get the most out of what God has for you. Amen. Lord, I lift your name. No. Lord, I lift your name on high. Lord, I long to sing your praises. I'm so glad you're in my life. I'm so glad you came to save us. You came from heaven to earth to show the way. From the earth to the cross, my debt to pay. From the cross to the grave, from the grave to the sky. Lord, I lift your name on high. Lord, I lift your name on high. Lord, we long to sing your praises. I'm so glad you're in our lives. I'm so glad you came to save us. You came from heaven to earth to show the way. From the earth to the cross, my debt to pay. From the cross to the grave, from the grave to the sky. Lord, I lift your name on high. Amen. Now, Heavenly Father, sweet Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord Jesus, for this time we have in your word tonight. Thank you that you would impart some things into us tonight about you, about your word, as we study and learn about Daniel tonight. That we learn about you going before us and hemming us in. Everything you've done for us. Thank you that you use me as an oracle tonight. And that all these people who have tuned into this program will receive what you have for them tonight. In the name of Jesus. Lord, I confess over this radio program tonight that in the name of Jesus, partners come into this program. Thank you that finances come into this radio program. I thank you, Lord God, that increases in listenership come into this show, Lord. And most importantly, I thank you for souls coming into this kingdom via this radio program, a great harvest of souls. In Jesus' matchless name, amen. All right. Open up your Bibles, if you will, please. We're going to the book of... We're going to the book of Daniel, chapter 1. Woo! Praise God. Daniel, chapter 1. And then put a bookmark in Daniel 5. Praise God, Daniel 1. I have found my chapter and verse right now. For the sake of time, I'm going to begin reading right now. And if you're not there yet, just go ahead and catch up with me.
Go ahead and pick up. In the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came to Jerusalem and besieged it. For the Lord delivered Jehoiakim, king of Judah, to his hand, along with some of the articles from the temple of God. There he carried off to the temple of his god, Babylon, and put in the treasure house. Then the king ordered Ashpenaz, chief of his court officials, to bring in some of the Israelites, some of the royal families, and from the nobility, as men without any physical teaching, showing aptitude in every kind of learning, well informed, quick to understand, and qualified for any movement. He was to teach them the language and the literature of the Babylonians. The king assigned them a daily amount of food and wine from the king's table. They were to be treated, I mean, they were to go on grain on and after that, they were to enter the king's service. She
looked at that alone.
Daniel, the last three that I read were originally Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They gave new names. But Daniel, the name, Belteshazzar. By the way, imagine the name Belteshazzar. They give him a nickname. Okay, Belt, come here, Belt. Belt. That just sounds weird, doesn't it? So Daniel, they gave the name Belteshazzar. Ananias, Shadrach, to Mishael, Meshach, and to Azariah, Abednego. But Daniel resolved not to defile himself with the royal food and wine. But he asked the chief official for permission not to defile himself this way. Now God had caused the official to show favor and sympathy to Daniel. But the official told Daniel, I'm afraid of my lord the king, who has assigned your food and drink. Why should he see you looking worse than the other young men your age? The king would then have my head because of Daniel dead. Daniel then said to the God whom the chief official had appointed over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, please test your servant for 10 days. Give us nothing but vegetables to eat and water to drink. Then compare our appearance with that of the young men who eat the royal food. And treat your servants and treat your servants in accordance with what you see. So we agreed to this and tested them for 10 days. At the end of the 10 days, they looked healthy and better nourished than any of the young men who ate the royal food. So the guards took away their choice food and the wine they were drinking, the wine they were drinking, and gave them vegetables instead. To the four young men, God gave knowledge and understanding of all kinds of literature and learning. And Daniel could understand visions and dreams of all kinds. At the end of the time, the father came to bring them in. The chief official presented them. The king talked with them, and he found none equal to Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. So they entered the king's service. Every matter of wisdom and understanding about which the king questioned them, he found them 10 times better than all of the magicians and enchanters in his whole kingdom. And Daniel remained there until the first year of King Ben. We're going to chapter 5. Just make sure that that's right. Put it online. Actually, we're going to chapter 6. Daniel chapter 6. I'm going to begin with verse 1 right now. And it pleased Darius to appoint 120 satraps to rule throughout the kingdom, with 3 administrators over them, one of whom was Daniel. The satraps were made accountable to them so that the king might not suffer loss. The king might not suffer loss. Now Daniel so distinguished himself among the administrators and the satraps by his exceptional quality that the king planned to set him over the whole kingdom. At this, the administrators and the satraps tried to find ground for charges against Daniel for his conduct of government affairs, but they were unable to do so. They could find no corruption in him because he was trustworthy and was neither corrupt nor was he negligent. For this, these men said, we will never find any basis for charges against this man Daniel, unless it has something to do with the law of his God. So the administrators and the secret went of the group to the king and said, okay, here it is. Live forever. The royal administrator, prefect, secret, advisors and governors are they said last night all the king's cabinet. They have all agreed that the king should issue an edict or a mandate and enforce the decree that anyone who prays to any god or man during the next 30 days, except to you, O king, shall be thrown into the lion's den. Now, O king, issue the decree. And put it in writing so that it cannot be altered in accordance with the laws of the Medes and Persians. It cannot be repealed. So King Darius put the decree in writing. Now when Daniel learned the decree had been published, he went home to his upstairs room where the windows opened toward Jerusalem. And three times a day, Daniel got down on his knees and prayed, giving thanks to his God, giving thanks to the Lord, just as he had done before. Then these men went as they grouped and found Daniel praying and asking God for help. So they went to the king and spoke to him about his royal decree. Didn't you publish a decree? Or we might say in this country, didn't you pass a law that during the next 30 days that anyone who prays to any god or man except to you, O king, would be thrown into the lion's den? The king answered, the decree stands in accordance with the laws of the Medes and Persians, which cannot be. Then they said to the king, Daniel, who is one of the exiles from Judah, well, Daniel doesn't pay any attention to you, O king, or to the decree you put in writing. He still prays three times a day. When the king heard this, he was greatly distressed, and he was determined to rescue Daniel. And made every effort until sundown to save him. So the men went as a group to the king and said to him, remember, O king, that according to the law of the Medes and Persians, who decree that the king issues can be changed, the king gave the order, and they brought Daniel. They threw him in to the lion's den. The king said to Daniel, may your God, whom you serve continually, rescue you. The stone was brought and placed over the mouth of the dermis. And the king sealed it with his own signet, ring, and with the ring of his nobles, so that Daniel's situation might not be changed. Then the king came to his house, and he spent the night without eating and without any entertainment being brought to him, because he couldn't sleep.
At the first light of dawn, the king got up and hurried to the lion's den. When he came near the den, he called to Daniel in an anguished voice, "Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God, whom you serve continually, been able to rescue you from the lions?" Daniel answered, "O king, live forever. My God, with a capital G, he sent his angel, and he shut the mouths of the lions. They have not hurt me, because I was found innocent in his eyes. Nor have I ever done anything wrong before you, O king. The king was overjoyed and gave orders to lift Daniel out of the den. And when Daniel was lifted from the den, no wound was found on him, because he had trusted in God. At the king's command, the men whom had falsely accused Daniel were brought in, and they were thrown into the lion's den, along with their wives and children. And before they reached the floor of the den, the lions overpowered them and crushed all their bones. Now King Darius wrote to all of the peoples, nations, and men in every language throughout the land, "May you prosper greatly. I issue a decree that in every part of my kingdom, people must fear and reverence the God of Daniel. For he is the living God, and he endures forever. His kingdom will not be destroyed. His dominion will never end. He rescues and he saves. He performs signs and wonders in the heavens and on the earth. He has rescued Daniel from the power of the lions." So Daniel prospered during the reign of Darius and the reign of Cyrus the Persian. All right. So, in chapter 1, we saw that There was Daniel. And then there was those three guys, other guys. Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego. And they were all very intelligent people. And they went to school. And then the king ended up making them part of the cabinet. And Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they studied so hard. They did their work so well. And the king declared. The king declared. You know, the work that these guys do is 10 times, Daniel does, is 10 times better than any of the astrologers. And those other groups of people. But 10 times better than any astrologer. 10 times. Not twice, not triples, 10 times. Wow, 10 times. And God ended up prospering Daniel and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. In chapter 5, the king issued an executive order. And he put it in writing. A mandate that took effect immediately. And the mandate, they wrote, any person who in the next 30 days is found praying to anyone or any god except for the king, they'll be thrown into the lions. They will be thrown into the lions. Well, Daniel he's upstairs in his house. He's up in his bedroom. He's got that window open. The window faces Jerusalem. He's got that window open. 3 times a day. 3 times a day. He's praying to God. Oh, most Christians, you can't get to pray for 3 minutes a day, or 5 or 10 minutes. Too many Christians will go through days and days and days, and they won't pray at all. And their church attendance stinks. It's reported that 80% of Christians rarely ever read their Bible. And most Christians don't pray anymore. Daniel did. 3 times a day. He was caught praying. And one of those K-traps said that, you know, and they go up there and they find them praying. They bring Daniel to the king. And these satraps, you know, these administrators, they ask the king, so King Darius, You're up that long, right? You wrote that executive order? And he said, the law stands. So, as a result of the law, the king threw Daniel in to the lion. The king said, may your God deliver you. The king went home into his palace. He paced the floor all night long. He didn't eat. Nor was there any entertainment brought to him all night. At first light, he gets up. He goes to the lion's den. He asks Daniel, Daniel, does the Lord keep you safe? Daniel said, God said his angel, the angel shut the mouths of the lions. And they became quiet and they didn't hurt me. One bit. So the king orders him to be brought out. Sure enough, not one bruise, not one wound is found on him. Not even a bruise from him rolling around in there. I mean, I don't know what a material of a den would be made of. What do you imagine that material is made out of? I used to think, when I was little, and I first heard this story, I used to think the Lion King was like some kind of doggy cage type thing, but a lot bigger for lions. And I used to think that it could have been any kind of material. But you imagine this, it was way back when, so you imagine it was some natural grassed in or fenced in type area that it was like a hole or something dug, that was dug.
Yeah.
So I imagine it was like a hole that was dug within that enclosure. You imagine it could have been something like a swimming pool, only there was no way to get out of it. Do you imagine it might have been something like that? So it'd be like that. But these days, when you hear the term den, a lot of times that just means a room. You know? I've never heard of a garage being called a den. Have you?
No.
But needless to say, he was in there. And then Daniel was brought out of the den. And then the king had those people who falsely accused Daniel. It wasn't actually false accusation, necessarily. He was praying to God. He was up there praying to God. He wasn't praying to one of the false gods. He was praying to the Lord Almighty, his God, asking God for help. But those people who accused him, his accusers, got thrown into that lion's den. Guess what happened to them all? As they were getting down near the bottom of the lion's den, the mouths of those lions were open, and all those men, along with their wives and children, by the way, killed, bones dismembered by the lions. You see, the hand of God was on Daniel. God protected Daniel. He protected him. Those other people, though, who were thrown in the lion's den, how long do you think it took them to get killed?
I have no idea. What
I imagine 20 seconds after when they opened the thing and they got in there. I mean, they might have survived a few minutes, but the events that ended up in it probably took like a minute, don't you think? Because the event, because lions are pretty fierce, so I imagine it was really quick.
Yeah.
But like, not one of them survived. Daniel did. But you know why? Because the hand of God was upon him. And the reason those other people died? Because they went up there and accused Daniel. They were following that law that King Darius had wrote, though. And they got thrown in there. After all that, a new decree was issued that said, no one shall worship any god in this land from now on except for the god that Daniel worshipped, the Lord. Amen. Now, the lion's den isn't just some cute little Bible story. That if you're a parent, the lion's den is not a cute little story that your kids in children's church will hear, or you might show your kids a video about it at home. No, it's much more than that. It is a story of Daniel facing a huge giant. Being in that lion's den was a big deal. And I don't mean lion's den. Woo! I don't imagine he was very happy to be in there. Do you?
Yeah.
Oh, you mean you don't think he was? Now, God closed the mouths of those lions. But you know, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that was their darkest hour. With Daniel, that was the lion's den was his darkest hour. When you're going through your darkest hour, I can guarantee you what Daniel was doing in there all night. Now the mouths of the lions are closed. But you know what I imagine Daniel was doing in there? Praying and praising. Believing in the Lord. Not one doubt. He had faith. He knew that God would deliver him and have him brought out of that den. When he was brought up out of it, he was not hurt one bit. God had delivered him. He had been through his darkest hours. But what is your lion's den moment? What's that darkest hour situation that you face? to some of us, it might be something with our health. With others of us, it might be something with the job. With others of us, it might be a relationship. But God has made us more than conquerors. I think about this and I say, greater is he who lives on the inside of me than he who is living in the world. God is on my side. My God is well able to deliver me. Hallelujah. He's well able to deliver us. And you see those men, those people, all of that. They went up there. Sure enough, yep, he's playing. They get on to the king and he's like, go get him. They go get him. And you know, the king, and he goes. And the Lord. That was a miracle. The only reason that they survived, that he survived, was because God shut the mouths of those lions. You know, whenever you're going through something, God wants to help you. You know, some of your students listening to me, whenever you're taking one of those super hard tests, we'll say it's like a calculus 3 test or something, or calculus 50. By the way, I've never heard of a class called calculus 50. Have you? That'd be a super hard class, though, don't you think, if there was such a thing? But just imagine, you're in that class, you're in there, you're taking that test, and that test is so hard. You know, depending on what teacher you get, we'll say that, we'll just assume that test, you have to show everything, and we'll say you did your work, but you did your work in class, but for whatever reason, this test seems super hot. You know, you have to show your work. Some of these things might have not been in the other material that you studied before. When you're going through that kind of, when you're going through hard stuff, we all go through stuff. God wants to help us go through stuff. So, whatever you're going through, if you don't feel like God's helping you, could it just be maybe you're not asking him? So that's why prayer is so important. You see, Daniel was up there praying to God 3 times a day. 3 times a day. He was up there praying to the Lord. I wish more Christians would do that. By the way, in a city here in Michigan, the Muslim prayer is uttered out loud. In Hamtramck, don't they still do that thing 5 times a day?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
5 times a day. And isn't it for 10 minutes? So generally it's for 50 minutes a day combined?
Yeah.
And listeners, we have too many Christians who, by the way, will go through a day and will never pray. Help us all. Out of time. There's a few things I would love to say, but I won't. I can tell I'll be coming back to this soon. Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord God, for this word. Thank you for that you helped Daniel as he went through the lion's den. I thank you, Lord God, that you're always going for us. You're always fighting for us, pushing back that darkness. I just thank you, Lord God, for who you are. I pray, Lord God, that as Christians, that we'd realize that Daniel prayed to you, Lord, 3 times a day. May we have that in us to do that, at least. In Jesus' name, help us to be fervent. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Now, really quickly, listeners, you have a need for healing in your body. I'm going to pray over you. Wherever you're at, put your hand on that. Put your hand on that computer, or on your mobile device or your tablet. Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord God, for these listeners. I thank you, Lord God, that you are the God that heals. You are the God that strengthens us. You are the Lord God who gives us strength. I thank you, Lord God, that we're not going to live with sickness and disease. We're going to be healthy. We're going to be strong, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God, for your healing, working power in our lives. We have strength in you. Our strength is in you. Our hope is in you. That you will do what we're asking. I give you praise and honor and glory for that. In Jesus' matchless name. Amen. Now, last night, now in terms of sports, last night, the Tigers faced the Pirates in Pittsburgh. By the way, what are they doing right now? There's a game right now, and we could have an update. I'd be greatly appreciated. Last night, the Detroit Tigers did beat the Pittsburgh Pirates 5-4. Now, over the last two innings, the Tigers had to face some opposition. What I mean by that is there was multiple men on base in both cases.
Because the Indians and the Rangers?
Nope, Tigers and Pirates. Talk about the Tigers. That was funny.
No, I don't want baseball at all. It's 4-1. Tigers winning.
Tigers are winning. What inning are we in?
Top of the third.
Listeners, it is 4-1, top of the third inning. Right now, Tigers are up. We'll see if the bullpen can hold on to that. Well, they did when the bullpen comes up later. Well, the bullpen did their job at not giving up any further runs last night. But they did allow several hits. And the bases did get loaded last night in the ninth inning. But Shane Green closed it out for him. He has over 20 saves already this season. And that was good for him to get another save as they won 5-4 to beat the Pirates. But it wasn't exactly easy all game long. But the game ended on a 4-1-3 double play. Like I said, it was in Pittsburgh. And that was your ball game. So, confess Psalm 91 over us in the name of Jesus. I say that no plague shall come nigh us, our immediate loved ones, and no evil shall befall us. For you have given your angels charge over us to keep us in all of our ways. I say that no suicide, no murderer, no burglar, no terrorist, no sickness, no disease, no evil thing, no fire, no flood, no crash, no rapist, no terrorist, none of this evil stuff will come near us or our immediate loved ones, and we're going to live in great peace and great joy and be a powerful witness for you, Jesus, until I see you listeners again, which will be Monday night. Amen. Sure love you. All right. Until midnight, until Monday, God first, God always. So long, everybody.